Begin the current daf, Masechta Shavuos, daf Mem. We begin 12 lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf regarding the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel in the fundamental halacha of our Mishnah, which describes the Shavuos HaDayin of Moedim Mikzis, that it requires HaTayin Shtei Kesef. The admission has to be that of at least a pruta, but the claim has to be at least of 2 mois of Kesef. Now, there's a fundamental Machlekes that Rav holds that it's not enough to have the entirety of the claim of Shtei Mois of Kesef. Rather, the denial of the claim has to be at least 2 mois of kesef, besides the admission of a pruta, so there's the minimum of the claim has to be actually 2 mois of kesef and a pruta. Whereas Shmuel holds that no, the claim itself could be two mois of kesef, whether if the person is denying only a pruta or admitting a pruta, doesn't make a difference, that could be part of the claim, but the claim doesn't have to be more than 2 mois of kesef. Now that the Gemara asked on Shmuel's opinion from the halacha of our Mishnah. Mishnah said that if the person claiming, the plaintiff says, Shtei kesef yesh li biyadcha, and he says, no, I only have a pruta, says you're going to be exempt. Says the Gemara, why are you going to be exempt over there? Why isn't that considered a Moedim Mikzis HaTayna? Isn't because the way Rav holds, because you're lacking in the Kfiras HaTayna, the claim has to be for more than 2 mois of kesef, because when you're admitting that pruta, that's not what you're denying. The denial has to be of 2 mois of kesef, which refutes Shmuel. So Shmuel said, no, do you think our Mishnah is talking about what's called shava, the value? It's talking about specifically, which was he was claiming 2 silver coins and he's admitting 1 small copper coin. What he's claiming, he's not admitting. What he's admitting, he's not claiming, and that's not going to be qualified for Moedim Mikzis. We have to have Mimin HaTayna. Moreover, the Gemara actually proved this halach of Shmuel, that we're not talking about the value, we're talking about the precision of what was being claimed, what's called dafka ketani. As we find that it talks about litras of, if it claims a certain weight of gold that you have of mine, and he says, no, I only have actually a litra of silver, he's going to be exempt. So says the Gemara for Shmuel, if you say dafka ketani, what was being claimed was specifically not just the value of a litre of gold, but actually a litre of gold. So that's why if the person who says, no, it's a litre of kesef, he's going to be exempt because it's not mimin hataina. But if you say like Rav that says, we're talking about the value, so value, it's just talking about monetary value. It doesn't make it if it's gold or silver. So why wouldn't you be chayv b'shvu according to Rav? So that the Gemara said, the Rav would tell you that no, actually the whole Mishnah is talking about value. The case of litre zav is different, because litra is specifically mentioning regarding this idea, in contrast to money, coins usually go with value. Weight would be saying specifically the weight of gold, and he's answering something else, that of silver. And Rav actually proves his point, because the Sefer says that if he tells him, you have a gold dinner of mine, and he says, no, I only have a silver dinner, or a tresis, or a punjin, or a pruta, whatever it is, so said the Mishnah says, michayv. Why? Because it's all one type of coin. So says Rav, if you say we're talking about value, so understand why you're going to be chayiv, because you're admitting to partial of the claim. But if you say that we're talking about dafka, so why would you be chayiv? That's not minataina. He's claiming a golden dinner. He's saying, no, I only have a silver dinner of yours. So what Rabbi Elazar said to answer for Shmuel, that no, by coins is different, because that is considered min hataina, because it's all a type of a coin. Yeah, this is gold, this is silver, but it's still considered the same category by being a coin. That's why Gemara continues and tries to bring another raya, not like Shmuel. Tashma, we learn the braisa as follows, which and this relates to the discussion regarding in this Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, how do we qualify the teachings of our Mishnah? According to Rav, all the teachings are in shava, in the shavius, in value, and that works well with his opinion. That's why the case of when he says you have 2 kesef of mine, and he says no, only a pruta, it's not going to be made mixes because you're lacking in the denial of 2 mois of kesef, because it's talking about value. Whereas according to Shmuel, he says no, it's dafka ketani, all the case of the Mishnah, and the reason why he's not going to be chayiv is not because you don't have a denial of a value of 2 mois of kesef. You don't need that. The claim of 2 mois of kesef is enough to be chayiv b'shvu moed mikzis. But it's because he's asking specifically for silver and he admits to copper, which is what a prut is, that's why you're going to be patur. But again, their machlik is contingent on how to read the wordings of the case of the Mishnah. Is it shava or dafka? And in that regard, that's what the Gemara brings up Raisa. The Raisa says, if the claimant says, dinner zohuv li biyatcha, there's a freshly minted coin that I have of you, with dinner zohuv, is not the dinner zahav, a golden dinner that zahav is minted, meaning it was made into a coin that that is mine, that's by you. So on that, the defendant says, no, ain't lecha biyadei ela dinner kesef. It's not true, I don't have a golden dinner of yours, I have a silver dinner of yours. Says the braisa chayiv, it's going to be chayiv. And the reason for that is because it's all one type of a coin, it's all currency, which is considered, min hataina, a denial partial of what the claim was. Now, however, this supports the halacha of Rav, because from the fact that the Braisa had to specify, Taima de omalei zahav zahob, the reason is because he tells him a minted gold coin, but the inference is hastama. But if, let's say, like the case of our Mishnah, when it just talks about dinner zahav, he says a golden dinner, without saying zahuv, that was minted. If you just say golden dinner, shavu kamalei, that would sound like that then it's just talking about the value of a golden dinner. And the reason why our Mishnah says in that case that yigimichai v'shavu moedim miktis is because, not like the way Rabbi Elazar was saying for Shmuel, because it's all one matbeya, but like Rav had explained, it's because din matbeya echad, all has the judgment of like one coin. But of course it has halacha as miminatayin, because we're talking about the value. So therefore, we're back to the question from the fact that the seifa of our Mishnah inevitably is going to be talking about the value, because we prove that when it says din azav, it means value. Because if you're talking about the real coin itself, then you would say like the Braisa says, zahav zahuv, minted coin. If you're not saying that, then you mean the value of that coin. So then the Reisha would also then talk about shava, about the value. And what was the case of the Reisha? If the plaintiff says, shtei kesef yesh li biyadcha, there's two silver coins that you have of mine, and the defendant says, no, ein lecha biyad el pruta, I only have a pruta, the Mishnah says it's going to be pater. Why? It's value. It's not like the way Shmuel wanted to say, dafka k'tani, that it's not miminatayin. It is miminatayin. We're talking about monetary value. It doesn't mean what the item is. We're talking about in dollars. So obviously, it's because you're lacking the denial of tumas kesem, which is like Rav, not like Shmuel. So what Rav Ashi says, this is what the Bryce is saying. Kol ha'omer dinner zahav, the Bryce is actually saying like Shmuel. Whoever says that you owe me a golden dinner, ka'omer dinner zahav zahuv dami. It's like as if he says, I'm claiming from you a minted golden coin. And that is, the Braisa wasn't explaining a case of when someone claims that there's a zahav, zahav you have by me. Rather, what the Braisa was saying, if someone claims, stam, you have a golden dinner of mine, then we assume that what he's saying is zahav, zahav, he's claiming the coin itself. And that, the defendant saying, no, I only have a golden dinner, where a silver dinner, but since they're both dinarim, they're both coins, that's why it's considered haidam in minatayin, and that's why it's going to be chayiv. But it doesn't contradict the explanation of Rabbi Elazar for Shmuel in the Mishnah that din azav yesh la biyadcha, the reason why it could be chayiv is because, yes, dafka katani. It's like he explains the Mishnah. But if it's dafka katani, then why is golden dinner claim and admitting a silver dinner going to be considered minatayin? Because it's all one type of a currency, one type of a coin. Continues the Gemara, Tanya b'chila siyur l'rav. B'chila taught a braisa which supports the opinion of Rav. Because his braisa says, if the plaintiff says, sell li biyatcha, there's a sell of mine that you have. And he says, ein lecha biyadi ela sella, he says, I don't have that I owe from you. Yes, it's a sella but chaser based kesef, but lacking two silver ma, where he's denying shtei ma of kesef. Meaning, yeah, you gave me a sella, but not a sella. A sella minus two ma of kesef. So what he's denying from the claim is shtei ma of kesef, then chayev, then it's going to be liable shvu ma'idim mixes. Chasama, but let's say he says, no, you're right, it was almost a sub, but a more less than that, Pati is going to be exempt from a Shavu Maidim Mixis. Obviously, you see from the Brais of Bechia that you need to have the denial to be of Shtei Kesef, which is exactly like Rav, not like Shmuel. Shmuel said that when it says in the Mishnah, Tain Shtei Kesef, the claim has to be at least two Kesef. The denial could be even of just of a Pruta. Whereas Rav says clearly, like this Brais of Bechia, that you have to have the denial to be of at least two more of Kesef. Now, qualifying the halach of our Mishnah, he says, Loi Shana, we didn't learn that you need to have, which is what this whole machlokes Rav and Shmuel was going on qualifying that halacha, a taina, a claim from the plaintiff of at least tumah of kesef. So that explains Shmuel. That was Ella, that was only by an oath that comes, but taina is malva, through the claim of the lender, vaidas, and from the partial admission of the leiva, from the borrower, which is what we know as the Shavu Maidim Mixis. That's what our Mishnah was talking about when it was talking about that specific type of Shavuah of the Yonin, which is the judges make him make this Shavuah. It was talking about only one of the types of Shavuahs, the Iraisa, from the judges, which is Shavuah Maidim Mixis. Avol, but says Shmuel, there's other types of Shavuah of the Yonin that actually would have a different halacha that does not require at least a claim of Tumas of Kesef. Let's say Tainis Malva, let's say the lender makes a claim that you owe me money, I lent you money. Vados eid echad, and there's the testimony of a singular, of a lone witness, where they actually, in this case, the borrower is denying everything, not maidim mixes. But there's an individual witness who testifies and says, no, you do owe him that money. So it turns out that oath is making him liable in an oath. Then even if the claim from the lender was only a pruta and the borrower is denying it, but the one witness saying, no, you do owe it, chayev is going to be chayev a shvua. My time, what's the reason? Like the pasuk says in the Devarim, it says, lo yakum eidech be'ish. A lone witness cannot get up against a man, l'chal avan or l'chal chatas, for any sin and for any wrongdoing. Because you need to have two witnesses stand up and testify against the person to incriminate him. But the inference from the pasuk is, l'chal avan or l'chal chatas odein the cover. It doesn't get up to incriminate the person. Aval kamul shvua, but the singular witness does get up to make the defendant, the one who's denying, liable for an oath. And Vitanya, we'll learn the Braisa, Kol Mokum, Sheshnaim, Mechayv Anoisim Mammon, anywhere where two witnesses would make a person liable for monetary payment, Eid Echad Mechayv Yeshvu, in that case, a lone witness obligates him in an oath. And since in this case, if there were two witnesses, they would make this defendant, who all he's denying is a pruta, it would be Mechayv him to pay the money, because a Shavah pruta is money. So in that case, even if it's just a pruta that he's denying, the lone witness would obligate him in an oath. So although we said in the Mishnah to be Chayv an oath, of Maidim Miktis, you need to have a claim of two Moids of Kesev, that's only for the Halacha Maidim Miktis. But for the Chayiv Shvua of Eid Echad, that's even if just there was a claim and a denial of just one Pruta. Another teaching of Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel from Shmuel, on the topic of our discussion of Maidim Miktis, Tanachitin Visa'irin. If someone claims against someone, says, look, you owe me wheat and you owe me barley. Vahaydle be'echad mehen, and the defendant admits to one of those two claims, Chayiv is Chayiv Shvua, Maidim Miktis, because he's admitting to partial of the claim. And Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, Yishur, that you should be strengthened, that you said well, because V'chein Rabbi Yechon, so to Rabbi Yechon, and says the same halacha. Now, the Gemara asks that, could we infer from the fact that he said, and so to Rabbi Yechon, and says, this Rabbi Yitzchak was saying that that you said well, Shmuel, because Rabbi Yechon says the same halacha, Mechlal de Paligalei Rish Lakish, could we infer that Rish Lakish, who is always the dispute of Rabbi Yechon, that he disputes this halacha? To which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Ikadami, those that say, why do you say only name Rabbi Yechon? Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechon are always there. Why didn't they say that Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish both agree? Is that making it obvious that Rish Lakish disagrees? So it says no. Ikadami, those that say that Misha Havishoyle, Rish Lakish would wait. Vishasikle, and he'd be quiet. That's how he would do it. Whenever Rabbi Yechon would be lecturing in the base of Medrash, he would wait with his questions until Rabbi Yechon finished whatever he had to say and all his explanations, and then he would disagree with him. Now, we could say that Rabbi Yitzchak had heard this teaching of Rabbi Yechon, and when Rabbi Yechon didn't yet finish, he left the Beis HaMedrash, he didn't hear if Rish Lakish disagreed. So he couldn't quote Rish Lakish on this, but it's not necessarily that Rish Lakish disputes this halacha. Or Igadami, there are those that say, Mishta HaVishasile. Rish Lakish was drinking water in the Beis HaMedrash when Rabbi Yechon had said this teaching, Vishasikle, and therefore he was quiet only because he was busy drinking. But he doesn't know if he disagrees or not, and therefore he didn't quote in his name, but neither does he know if he disputes it. Now the Gemara says, regarding this halacha, let's support this halacha of Shmuel and what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. Rabbi Yechon says the same thing from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Tanachitin, if the plaintiff claims you owe me wheat, and the defendant he denies that claim, but he admits something totally different. He admits I owe you barley. Says the Mishnah, the Tanakama holds pati, is exempt. It's not a moidim mix. It's not admitting to partial the claim. You're denying the total claim. You're admitting something totally different. Now, Ramlil says he is chayav shvu because he does not require the admission to be from within the claim itself. So the guy's claiming something, you're admitting something, you're denying something. So that's considered maidim miktis according to Ramlil. But says the Gemara, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, time of the tonachid mahoidle b'sa'irin. It sounds like from our Mishnah, the reason why the chacham hold that you're going to be pater is because he's claiming one thing, wheat, and he's admitting something else, which is sa'irin. But hachitin v'sa'irin, but it sounds like that if he was claiming both wheat and barley, v'hoyle be'echemen, if he admitted to one of those two things, then chayiv, he'd be chayiv, that would be considered mimin ha'taina. Because if it wasn't, then for sure say that, and of course when it's totally different things. Obviously they hold that then you would be chayiv, which is like the halach of Shmuel. Tosh Gemara says, no, not a raya. Hu adin afil hachitin v'sa'irin namipat, we could say that according to Rabbanan, that even if the claim is on both wheat and barley, that since in that thing itself, you're not admitting to part of that, because here you're admitting to one whole thing and denying the whole other thing. No, it could be that would be pater from the Shavu Maidim Miktis. But then why do they disagree when there's a claim of one thing and the admission of totally something else? That's Lahidiyacha Kechad Rem Gamliel. That's just to notify you of the strength of the other opinion. Rem Gamliel holds that even over the Yigin Michaev, even though it's totally not Memin HaTayna. But according to Rabbanan, we could say that they hold that just like when there's totally different things, you're not going to be chayav b'shuv moed miktzis, so to even when you're claiming both things and there's admitting to one of them, that's not halfway. That's not miktzis, that's not moed miktzis, because you're totally admitting one thing and you're totally denying another thing. Let's try to bring a different raya from another halacha in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Tanu kelim v'karkais. If the plaintiff is claiming two things from the defendant, one, you owe me bowls, you owe me a keli, vessels, and karkais and lands. Now, hayde bekelim v'kafik v'karkais. Whether if, let's say, the defendant admits, yeah, I owe you the kelim, but he denies the land, or bekarkais v'kafik bekelim, he admits the land, but he denies the kelim. In either one of these cases, patri is going to be exempt from a shvur mei demiktzis. Moreover, as we get tintam and pays, hayde bemiktzis karkais, even if he admits in part of, which this is already admitting to part of something, part of the land, still patri is going to be exempt from a shvur mei demiktzis. And the reason for these first three halachas is because one does not make an oath on land, especially for this halacha, although this is clearly mei demiktzis, as the Gemara tells us later on of membeis and membeis, one is not a chayav a shvua on karka. So, not only the denial of land, but also its admission does not bring someone to a liability of taking an oath. However, says the Mishnah, b'miktzis kelim, if in regards to the vessels, some of them he admits, some of them he denies, so then chayiv, then he's mechayiv a shvua on the kelim for sure, because regarding that he's made in miktzis in part of it, and he's going to mechayiv an oath even on the lands through the halach of gilgul shvua, through the devolving an oath onto the other things of the claim, even though you wouldn't have it on its own, but once you have a shvua, then you have a shvua on all those things, including the karka. But one thing the Gemara wants from this halacha is an inference. Time in the kelim v'karkais, what we see from the halacha of Amish is that the reason why he's going to be exempt from a shvua is because the guy was claiming kelim and karka. Whereas we just explained, the karka lapa shvuhi. Regarding land, that's not something that obligates a person in an oath. But hakelim v'kelim, but let's say it was the same type of a case. If let's say it was vessels and different vessels, domid the kelim v'karkais, similar to the case of land and vessels, meaning two different types of vessels. And he admits in one of them and denies the other one of them. It sounds like chayv, then he would be chayv shvu. It's only when he denies the kelim and admits the karka, or denies the karka and admits the kelim, then you're not going to be chayv, even though you're admitting to one out of the two, because one of those two is karka, and that cannot be mechayv shvu. But if they were both kelim, both movable items, even though they're two different types of kelim, the red kelim or the blue kelim, the big ones or the small ones, whatever, two different types, and he admits to one type totally and denies the other one totally, something then you would be chayv, which is like the halacha of Shmuel, which is like claiming chitin and sarim, admitting to one of those two. Says Gemara, who had in the fill kelim kelim namipati? We can say that no, even when there's two different types of kelim, and he totally admits to one and totally denies the other one, he's going to be exempt, because you have to have mei demiktzis in part of one thing. Then why did we say the case in when he's claiming kelim and karkais, when you could say even kelim and kelim? Kamash Malan, what it's coming to teach us is regarding the last of those four cases. When he even admits in only part of the kelim, yeah, admitting a part of the kelim, you understand, can be mechayv yishvu in the kelim itself, but the chiddush that the Mishnah wants to teach you is chayv afal karkais, that then you can be liable even to make a shvu on the karka, which generally you're not chayv a shvu on the karka. That's why he wanted to say with kelim and karkais. You're right, it would be kelim and kelim too. But he wanted to say that even then you'll be chayv a shvu on the karka too. So ask the Gemara, my kamash milan, what's the chiddush, what's the novelty of that teaching of the Mishnah? That zaykikin, meaning that being obligated an oath on the kelim will then obligate and connect and require an oath even on karka, which usually you're not chayv a shvu on karka? And that is the Gemara Batanina. We already learned this in the Mishnah Masech Tzkedushin, that nechassim that don't have achrayas, meaning referring to metatlin, which there's no insurance because it could get lost, in contrast to land, zaykikim es nechassim shesh lechayas lishav aleim. That obligates and that brings together the properties which do have responsibility, have insurance, which land can never get lost, it's always going to be there, that you have to make an oath on that. So the Mishnah Kalilin Kedushin says it explicitly. So how can you say that our Mishnah is coming to teach that chiddush, and that's why it says kelim b'karka? Says the Gemara, that's not a difficulty. Ha, Iker. Our Mishnah over here is the primary one teaching this halacha of Zaykin, because our whole Masecht is taught about laws of oaths, of Shvua. So the halacha of being Zaykik as Shvua is taught primarily over here, and that's why we say, when you admit to part of the Kalim, that you can have a Shvua on everything, even on the Karka. Hahi, that Mishnah, Masecht is Kedushin, that's Agav Gror and Nisva. That's once the Tan over there was teaching a different halacha, which was saying that nechassim that don't have achrayis, meaning metatlin, could be acquired together with nechassim that have achrayis, meaning with land, with money, even without meshicha, although movable items need to be acquired with meshicha, not money. But once you're acquiring the land, then through that you could acquire, agav that, the metatlin with it. So it's speaking about the relationship with land and metatlin, where that doing something on one will then have a relevancy and a consequence to the other thing. Satana Badaya. So then it was taught with it that the same thing is the other way around, that if you have an obligation of an oath on Metatlin, then you'll be chayv a shvuah also on Karka. But again, although it's teaching that same halacha over there, but that's only incidentally to just once we're mentioning that type of relationship, it mentions that other one. But the prime halacha, yeah, is taught over here in our Mishnah, and that's what it's coming to teach. But there's no raya to Shmuel. Could be that if it was Kalim v'Kalim, you also would be pater from a shvuah, and it's only teaching Kalim v'Karka regarding the last halacha to say the halacha of Zaykin. Now, however, although we quoted from Shmuel that he holds this case, you would be chayv in the shvuah of chit misa'irim, and he admits to one of the two. But Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar b'Yechanan, he says, "Tonu chid misa'ayin." If something the plaintiff claims that you owe me wheat and barley, v'hoid la ba'achas, and he totally admits to one of them, pati is exempt from a shavua ma'id mixes, like we said, because you have to admit to part of a claim. Here, you're not really admitting to part of a claim, which that's the discussion. On one hand, you are, because he's claiming two things, admitting one. On the other hand, you say that no, this one thing I'm totally admitting, this one thing I'm totally denying, and therefore he says you pati. And that asked the Gemara, V'amr Bitzchuk, we quote on Oman Afir, Bitzchuk said to Shmuel's halacha Yishar, well said, V'chein Rabbi Yechon, and so Rabbi Yechon says that what, that you can be chayiv, yet here we have Rabbi Chiya Abba quoting them Rabbi Yechon, that you're potter. And says the Gemara, Amayron, Nino, Libad Rabbi Yechon, yes, Machlikis Amayron, in the interpretation of what Rabbi Yechon had said. Now the Gemara brings those two proofs that we tried bringing to Shmuel, that you're chayiv Shmuel, as questions from our Mishnah on this version of Rabbi Yechon, that who says that you can be potter. Toshima. Well, in our Mishnah, said Tanachit Mahaydalai Bisa'irin Pater, if the claimant claims wheat and the defendant admits something totally different, barley. So, on that said, the Chacham Pater is going to be exempt. That's not qualifying for Shvuas Ma'idim Mitzvahs because you're admitting to something totally different. But Mulil Machayev, Mulil says you're going to be Chayev. It doesn't require Meminatayna. That asked the Gemara, time of the Tanachit Mahaydalai Bisa'irin. Oh, sounds like, why did the Chacham say you're Pater? Because you're claiming one thing and admitting something totally different. But if let's say you were claiming both wheat and barley, and he admits to one of them, it's not totally different, it's something from what the claim was, then chayv you'd be chayv eshu might be mixes, not like Rabbi Yechanan. So the Gemara, we could say that even if the claim was wheat and barley, and he admits to, let's say, barley, he would be pater. Why does it say when you're claiming wheat and only wheat, and then the guy admits something totally different than that of barley, is that was coming to tell us the strength of Emilil, who says that even over there, Michaim, because it doesn't require at all, Toshima, from the other case of the Mishnah. Tonne Kalim Bekarkais, that he claims both vessels and land. And he admits to the Kalim and denies the land, or the other way, Bekarkais, Bekarkais, Bekalim, he admits to land and he denies the Kalim. Either way, Pad is going to be exempt. So to the third case, Haid Bemixes Karka Pad, even if he admits in part of the land, he's going to be exempt. However, the fourth case, b'miktzas kelim chayv, if he admits in part of the kelim, then he chayv eshvuah on everything. Ask the Gemara and Rabbi Yechon on time of the kelim v'karkayis, sounds like because the claim was on kelim and karkayis. And then he admits to one of them and denies the other one, then you can be potter, because the karka lap eshvuhi. Land is not something, whether you're denying it or admitting it, that could obligate in an oath. Ha-kelim v'kelim dumi the kelim v'karkayis, but let's say it's a case of one vessel and another type of vessel that he's claiming, which is similar to Kelim v'Karkayis, meaning they're two different things, but they're both Kelim, then you would be Chayiv, then you would be obligated in the Shvuah, because that's not Karka. And yet that is not like Rabbi Yechon, who says that when you have Chitin and Sairin, which is like Kelim and Kelim, and then you admit to one of them, that then you potter on the Shvuah. Says the Gemara, who had in the Philly Kelim and Kelim, non-potter? The truth is, even if he claims from one type of Keli, another type of Keli, which is like Chitin and Sairin, and he admits to one of them, that even there you potter from a Shvuah might mix us. So then what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Why is it pick Kalim v'Karkayis? If it could have said even more, even something that's usually chayav in the Shavuot like Kalim v'Kalim, is because it's coming to teach us regarding the last halacha. If he admits to some of the Kalim, let's say he says, look, you owe me 5 pieces of land and you owe me 10 vessels, and he admits to 5 of the vessels, that's chayav aval karkayis. That not only is he chayav in the Shavuot might mix this in the Kalim that he denies, but he's even chayav in the Shavuot on the Karka that he denies. So the question is, my kamash malan zoikin. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah that's telling us that you could then devolve on, since partial of the claim yechayv shvuah, then even for something that usually don't have a shvuah, which is land, you're gonna have to swear on that too. But tanina, that we learn in Mishnah Masechet Kedushin, says zoikin es nachasim shesh nachrayis lishavalein, that regarding a liability on part of the claim of nachasim she'ein lemachrayis, regarding that there's no insurance, let's say movable items, once you chayv shvuah on that, that obligates an oath on Nechasim Sheesh L'Machrayis, which is a karka, to take an oath on that. So the Mishnah there clearly says it. How could you say that? That's what the Mishnah is teaching over here. That's the Gemara. That's not difficult. Ha'ikar, our Mishnah is the primary one teaching the laws of oaths. And Ahi Agav Gron Nisvadir, the Mishnah Mesech's Kedushin, only says it incidentally because it teaches a different halacha of acquisitions that you do just on karka, it'll help for metalin. Here also the di'os that you have metalin will obligate you that on karka. But the Gemara continues asking, Esav Reb Abba b'mamal Reb Chir Bar Abba. He asked Reb Chir Bar Abba, who he says this last version of Rabbi Yochanan, that when you tanu chit misa'arin and hoyle misa'arin that you potter, from the following brisa. The brisa says, tanu shar. Let's say the plaintiff claims, you owe me an ox. V'hoyle b'seh, and the defendant admits something totally different. Says, no, it's a sheep I owe you. Or seh v'hoyle b'shar, he claims a lamb, and he admits an ox. Either way, potter is going to be exempt because it's not memin ha'tayna. But let's say tanu b'shar b'seh, let's say he claims you owe me an ox and a sheep. To one of them, chayiv, you're liable. You see clearly that when you tanochit misa'irin and v'hoidloi ba'achemhen, that you're chayiv, not like Rabbi Yochanan. To which Amalei, on that, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba answers, Homani, who's the town of this price? Rabbi Gamliel, who doesn't require him in that taina. That asked the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel, he asked him, if it's Rabbi Gamliel, then fill a ration namin, and even the first case also should be chayiv. Why, when he claims a shur and the admits a sad, does the brisa there say he's potter? Rambam says, even if you claim chidna and admit sa'arim, you are chayiv. He doesn't need it to be from the claim itself. As long as he's claiming something and admitting something, which is not admitting to the whole claim itself, then you chayiv shu moed mitzvah. Why there you potter? Ella rather than he says, no, you're right. Homani, who's the time of this brisa? Admon he. It's admon who requires that the haidab be mimin hatayna. That's why when you claim a shur and he admits sa'ar, you're not chayiv shu moed mitzvah. However, when the plaintiff claims two things and admits to one of them, so then you're going to be chayiv. Now, this teaching of Admon is actually taught in our Mishnah, which is when someone claims jugs of oils and they admits to just the jugs. Admon says that you're going to be chayiv, and the others, the chacham, say that they disagree that you're going to be potter. So on that is what he's saying, that, oh, yeah, the chachamim, the way I say that you're potter, of course, because I'm going like the chacham. This brisa says you're going to be chayiv. That's like admin. So admin is a different opinion that says that, yeah, if you admit to one of the two things, then you're going to be chayiv. Moreover, says Reb Chiya Bar Abba, v'loid chuya matchinan la. Don't think I'm just pushing you away and giving what's called a deichik ter. It's just pushing away and finding some way out of the question, but really it's a difficulty on me. Actually, el talmud aruchu befiv shel Rabbi Yochanan. No, it's actually a long prepared Talmudic discourse from the mouth of Rabbi Yochanan, who I'm quoting this whole halacha from, that Hamani, that who's the time of this brisa, did Admon he, that's Admon. Now, although in our Mishnah, Masechta Shavuos, the Gemara doesn't explain actually what is the principle that Admon disagrees with the Chachamim, but in the last paragraph of Masechta Shavuos, they explain that that's what they're disagreeing about. In this halacha, when he claims a jug of oil, that the Chachamim say, and if he only admits to the jugs, he's part of him, and makes it, Admon says, Yechayim, that's what he's saying. That's not difficult. Rabbi Yochanan is like the majority opinion of the Chacham who say you're going to be potter. It's Admon who actually that this price is like, who we quote in the Mishnah that says that if you admit to only one of the two things, the jug you're admitting and the oil you're denying, then you're going to be chayvish with mixes. But Rabbi Yochanan, who I'm saying his opinion that you're potter, is like the Chacham. Now the Gemara continues a related discussion. Again, another teaching, Amar Avon and Amar Shmuel. So there's someone that had a claim against his friend, and this is important in regards to Halach of Shmuel, that said if you toin chit misa'ayun, and he admits to one of the two. So Shmuel said, then you can be chai v'shvur ma'id miktsas. So in this teaching of Shmuel, there's another case that's qualified in that teaching. It says, if someone was claiming against his friend wheat and barley. Now, tanu chitin, he only got a chance so far, he wants to claim both of these things, but he only gets a chance like to bring the guy to court, and he says, you owe me wheat. And he didn't get a chance to say, and barley. Before he got a chance to say that, v'kadnam v'hoidli b'sa'arim, the defendant quickly jumped up, and admitted and said, did I owe you barley? But I don't owe you wheat. But the barley I do owe you. So then says Shmuel as follows. Im kama'arim, if it appears to the court that this guy's being crafty, meaning that he jumped up to admit the barley so that the person should not get a chance yet to claim the barley, because as we said in the halacha of Shmuel, if he claims him wheat and barley and admits to the barley, he'd be chayvish v'ub mayd miktsas. But here, what he does is that he's totally denying the claim because all he claimed from him yet was the wheat. And that is totally denying. He's admitting the barley, but that wasn't claimed at all yet. So that's like ton chit mahoid lebesarim, which we said in the Mishnah Korn Lacham, then you can be potter. So that's what Shmuel says. If it's obvious to the court that this guy's just being crafty, but he knows and it's like it's already the guy claimed the wheat and the barley and admitting to the barley, then chayiv, then he's liable for him an oath if the plaintiff then finally gets to finish his sentence by saying, well, there's both of them that you owe me, wheat and barley. But in b'miskaven, but if it seems like his intention was genuine to respond to the claim of wheat, not to preempt him, he was saying, you owe me wheat. He said, wheat? No, I don't owe you wheat. I owe you barley. So then, Pati is going to be exempt from a Shemoyin Mixes because he didn't actually admit to a partial claim. He totally denied the claim of the wheat, and he admitted to something totally different of the barley, and therefore he's exempt from a Shemoyin Mixes. Another teaching from V'Amr of Anan Omer Shmuel says, Tanush Shtei Mechatin. If the plaintiff claims two needles, two very insignificant kalim, and the defendant admits to one of the two, Chayv is going to be Chayv, a Shavuot Moed Mixes. He admits to partial of the claim. And Lefikach, and that's why Yatsu Kalim, that's why vessels went out to be written explicitly in the Pasig, Lamashahain, for what they are, to be liable in whatever the circumstances is, no matter how small and insignificant the Kali is. The reason for this is because the Pasig essentially in Shmoyis Chav Beis, when it talks about this halacha, should have said, when a man gives his friend monies to safeguard, I would have said, wait, monies is in the plural, that means two. So too, monies, kesef, silver, is something significant. So too, whatever is two and significant. Why did it say kalim? To tell you that it has to be a davar, to tell you that kalim are intrinsically a davar chashev, and you don't need it to have a value of two ma'as of kesef. So though that we talk about the halacha ma'idim mixes, you need to have the claim to be two ma'as of kesef. Here, even though it's two needles, which are not worth, that can be worth two prutas, it doesn't make a difference. That's why it says kalim in the Torah, where we would have known from kesef in both halachas we mentioned previous daf of being davar chashev and two, if you say kesef. Why say kalim? To say that kalim, you're always going to be chayiv, no matter how small they actually are. Now, relating back to this machlekes Rav and Shmuel that we were talking about, so Amar Papa, he says the halacha that will encompass both teachings of Rav and Shmuel. It says, Tanu kalim upruta. If someone claims from someone else, vessels and a penny, a lowest denomination of a coin, of a copper coin. Now, let's say v'haydi b'kalim v'kafe b'pruta. Let's say the defendant admits that he owes him the kalim, but he denies the pruta. So then Pater is going to be exempt from a Shavuot Moedim Mixes, as the Gemara is going to explain. And this, he's going like Rav, who says that the denial has to be of two mois of Kesef. But here he's not denying two mois of Kesef, he's only denying a Pruta. So therefore it's going to be Pater. Let's say Ha'idim Pruta V'kafa B'Kalim. Let's say he admits to the Pruta, but he denies the Kalim. And that's even if the Kalim are a minute amount of value. Because as we said, that's why Kalim says explicitly in the Torah by themselves, to tell you no matter how low the value is, you're still going to be chayiv shuvah ma'idim mixes. In this case, chayiv is going to be chayiv shuvah ma'idim mixes. To which the Gemara says, chadukah rav, chadukah shmuel. The first halacha is like rav, and the second one is like shmuel. Meaning, chadukah rav, the first halacha, he was saying like rav, the amar kfiris tainer shtei kesef. Then he says that the denial has to be at least on the claim of two mois of kesef. But in this regard, he's only denying a pruta. That's not enough to be considered a denial. In contrast to Shmuel, that said, yeah, the denial could even be a prut. Chada, the second halacha was that, wait a second, how are you going to be chayiv or shvur moedim mixes when you admit a prut and you deny kalim? But we know the halacha has to be that you have to admit to something that's from within the claim itself. And the problem is, here, he's admitting to one thing and denying something else. That says the Gemara, that's kishmul. The amat tanachit and v'sa'arin v'hoid l'ba'achas min chayiv. That since the claim is on two things, kalim and pruta, and he's admitting to one of them and denying the other thing, that you mechayiv shvur moedim mixes. That's like Shmuel, who, as we taught his teaching, that he holds that that's considered moedim mixes atayin and therefore chayiv in the shvur. The Gemara continues the next halacha, the Mishnah. Man li biyadcha. Someone claims there's 100 dinar that you owe me, and he says, in lecha biyadi, I don't owe you anything, what's called kaifra, kol denies everything, then he's part of, then he's exempt, as we say, the pasuk of, that's mechayiv shvua, by the defendant's denial, is only when it says ki hu zeh, when he's admitting to part and denying part. Here he denies everything, he's pater from a shvua. However, Amar Rav Nachman, he says, that's on the biblical level. But a mashbiyah nois is shvua's heses, but we require him to take an oath of heses, which the word heses means like a term of summa, of placing, which is that this is an oath that the chacham placed upon a person rabbinically. My time, what's the reason? Because chazaka, there's a presumption that ein odem teveya, a person would not make a claim, elam kein yesh le'elav, unless he has something against somebody. So this guy's totally denying, but rabbinically we have reason to believe that there might be something here, and therefore we impose upon him a rabbinical oath to deny the claim of the claimant. Adrab, to the contrary. There's a chazaka the other way. There's a presumption that ein odem meiz ponav befnei bal chayva, that a defendant would not be able to have the audacity in the face of his creditor. That's actually one of the explanations of the biblical law of Moedim Mixes, that's why you're admitting to part, because you can't totally deny. So if this defendant is totally denying, that presumption should tell us that it is actually not Chayiv. So why is he Chayiv Shavuos Heses? And that's the Gemara, you're right. he wouldn't totally deny outright and be a total ingrate and deny the loan that the person lent him. But ishtamutehu dekamishtamitli, but he could be using it as an avoidance tactic when he's totally denying. Where for that he could do. That's not considered such an azaz, and therefore we impose upon the shvuas heses. Because Savar, he thinks, look, adahavali paranale. Until I have money, I'll pay him up, but now I don't have. So he doesn't want to get his possessions repossessed, so he just denies it. But that's why we impose upon the rabbinic oath. And says the Gemara Teda, you should know that we say this idea that a person, yeah, he's not having the azaz, he's not audacious to totally deny it, but he denies it just as a delay tactic. How do you see this? Because Amar Vida Bar Ovin, Amar Avchizdi, says, Akeifa b'milva. Someone denies a loan that he owes someone. And witnesses come and say, we know, you do owe him the loan. Now, he never swore to that effect, but he just denied the loan. Says Rav Chizda, Kashal Eidus. This person who denied the loan is still valid to say testimony in the court of law. And the chiddush in that is that we don't say that it's chashad amal money. What do you mean? Suspect regarding money. Someone that suspect regarding money, like an Eid Chames, is not valid to say testimony. We don't say suspect regarding money. He was going to pay up the loan. He was just delaying. He was being mishtamed. He was trying to avoid. Now, the reason for this is because he was denying a loan. A loan is what's called mivalei tzanin. He was given the money to spend. He just doesn't have the money right now to pay. So he says, I don't owe. But of course he's going to pay. That's why he's kashal eidus. In contrast, let's say Bebekon, if he denies a deposit, which is not for his to use, it's there to just watch, and he denies having it, then pasul eidus. Then he's invalid to say testimony because he's chashad minor. What do you mean? You can't say that you don't have it right now, that you used it already, and you just don't have it. A deposit is not like a loan for you to use. Now, this is even if he didn't swear, because the moment he denies, he's already suspected regarding money, and therefore not valid for testimony. Which the Gemara Mitzi in the first paragraph of Hema Beis explains that also must be told by the witnesses came and said that they saw that moment when he was denying that it was by him. Because there you can't say that he had just lost the deposit, and on there also then you'd say he would be mishtamen until he searches and finds it. They say, no, we knew he had it, and that denial is straight up denial, which is chashad amayin, and therefore he's also suspect regarding edus, and he's not going to be kasher. But again, that's why we're mechayev b'shvuas hases. A different version of this halacha, Rav Chaviva Masni, he taught this halacha Rav Nachman Aseifa on a later case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Man li biyotchav." The plaintiff claims 100 dinar. Amalehan, and the defendant says, "Yes, I do owe it to you." Lamacha amale tenei. The next day, so the guy goes, "Okay, give me the money that you owe me," and that the defendant says, "Nesatav lach, I already gave it to you." That's the Mishnah Patri, he's exempt. Yeah, he admitted, and could be he gave it to him already. On that of Rav Nachman, he says, however, mashbi nice shvuas hases. But although he's saying he gave it, but since he already admitted, and the guy's coming back and claiming it again, there's reason for us to believe that if he's claiming that he really didn't pay it to him, and then he's chayav for this rabbinic oath of shvuas hases. Now the Gemara explains, man demasne aresha, the one who taught Rav Nachman's halacha on the previous halacha of the Mishnah, koshkin aseifa, for sure he would say it applies on, like Rav Chaviva's version, on this last halacha, because here he really admitted to it. So there's already what's called dura de mine, there's already monetary doubt already over here, because he already admitted. Now he's denying, okay, wait a second, there's something going on. You got to take a shvuas heses. However, as you continue to have a memal of manav, a man demasne la aseifa, however, the one who teaches it on the seifa, like Rav Chaviva, on the halacha of when he really admitted and now he's saying he really gave it, we could say that hachahu de'ikadar de'mamayna. Now, only in this case where there's already a doubt regarding the monies, because they already see something going on, then he's with mechayev shvuas heses. Abul Hasan, but in the previous case of the Mishnah, when he totally denies everything from the beginning, when the guy says, man le'biyotcha, and he says, you don't have anything by me at all, with the lekadar de'mamayna, we have no reason to believe any monetary doubt, just based on the claim of the plaintiff itself, there lie there, according to that version of this teaching of Rav Nachman, we would not impose a shvuas heses in that situation, and he'd be totally exempt with his total denial of the claim.